thrown around in the wind. Not tossed back and forth by false teaching like a boat being buffeted by the waves in the sea. Rather, a church that stands firm on the truth of God's word and reveals his glory to the world. Perhaps we might picture a mighty, mature oak tree, or more accurately, a mature, fully grown body. It's a church that's grown up, that's stable and steadfast. That's the kind of church God wants us to be, and it's the kind of church we want to be. Not only for our generation, but also for generations to come. So how can we ensure that this is the kind of church we are? Well, see how the passage begins. It begins with a wonderful statement. Paul says that each one of us has received a gift of God's grace. Please look down at verse 7. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean? Except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. Well, the key sentence there for us to grasp is the first one. Paul writes, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Now, the grace Paul's referring to here is not saving grace, but gifts of ministry. He's saying that the risen Christ has graciously given to each one of us gifts and opportunities to minister to others in the church. Each one of us has a part to play in the life of the church. Now, we won't all play the same part or have the same gifts, but we do all have a part to play because God has given us skills and talents which in some way are unique to each one of us. And what's more, he's given us opportunities to use them. And he's given us leaders in the church to help us to do it. So this is where we discover the purpose of leadership in these verses. And please look at verse 11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Well, notice the various links of the chain in those verses. First, Christ gives to the church people who are involved in Bible teaching. Now, that's what these various groups of people all have in common: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. They're all people who we might describe as the church's leadership. Now, Paul has a specific group of people in mind here, but I think we can apply what he says to those in various Bible teaching or leadership roles in the church. Faithful Bible teaching is the foundational role in the life of the church. Now, the computer seems to be doing something funny to my slide, so I dread to think what we're going to get for the next one, but let's see. So the second link of the chain, the purpose of church leadership is to equip the whole church for works of service. Christ gives us people who teach the Bible so that all of us can be properly equipped by God's word to serve one another. And that's how we arrive at the third link in the chain, which we've already looked at. As the church members are equipped to serve one another through the teaching of the Bible, the church grows and builds itself up in love to become the church that God wants us to be. So the passage is telling us that the purpose of leadership is to see every member of the church equipped to serve one another, using the gifts Christ has given us, so that the church grows to maturity and stability. Notice in verse 15 that it means speaking the truth in love. In other words, it involves all of us talking to each other about the things we're learning from God's word, and doing so in the context of loving relationships. And notice at the end of verse 16 that it involves each part doing its work. In other words, it involves everyone doing their bit. So if we're to be the church that God wants us to be, and that we want to be here at Emmanuel, then we need people in leadership roles who will help us. We need people who will help us to study God's word, whether from the pulpit, in home groups, in children's groups, youth Bible study, the men's and women's ministries, one-to-one, or wherever it may be. And that could be you. Well, you might be sitting there thinking, no, Martin, that really isn't me. But can I encourage you to think that it could be you? Because without people being willing to take on Bible teaching roles in the church, we cannot be the mature and stable church that God wants us to be. So then, who are the leaders we need? Well, we already have an excellent children's ministry, and I'm very grateful to everyone who serves on the various children's teams, whether as leaders or as helpers. They are vital roles. But we can't be complacent. We regularly need to identify new leaders and helpers for all our teams. At the moment, for example, we're looking for new leaders for our toddler group, Buttons, and for our youth Bible study. And as we look to the future, we need to keep doing that. So I want to continue recruiting people to serve in our children's ministries. Could that be you? And the same's true of our home groups. We have 7 excellent home groups meeting every week, but they're all nearing full capacity. As we look to the future, we need to identify and equip more home group leaders too. Perhaps that could be you. But we have a particular need for new leaders in 2 areas that are part of our 5-year plan for the church that I spoke about on our Vision Sunday. Firstly, youth work. Well, I'm delighted that we have now started to advertise for the new post of youth and families worker. Isn't that great news? The advert is out there. All the details can be found on our website under the jobs tab. It's easy to find on your mobile phone or on your laptop. Please do share those details with anyone you know who might be interested in that role. I've said many times, we need to build an excellent youth ministry to go alongside the excellent children's work that's already happening. At our giving review, we set ourselves the target of raising £90,000 to fund that role for 3 years. And we've done it. The fact that you've all given the money so generously to make it possible is testimony to the gospel heart of this church, and also to our shared commitment to the next generation. So I'm really thankful for the way in which our church has got behind this clear gospel need. So let's keep praying that God will lead the right person to us. But one person on their own will not be able to run the youth ministries that we want to establish. That person will need teams of volunteers to help with the work of teaching the young people about Jesus. So it's particularly important that we identify and equip the right people from among us to serve under our new youth and families worker when, God willing, they arrive. Or could that be you? The second area that's part of our five-year plan is seniors ministry. We want to start a midweek seniors group that encourages Christians and evangelizes non-Christians. The reason I've got a question mark there is that we, the PCC, haven't got any concrete plans for that yet. We still need to discuss it more. But nonetheless, we will need leaders to make that possible. So could that be you? So what I'm saying is that as we look forward to the years ahead, we need to identify and equip more leaders and helpers for our existing Bible teaching ministries and for the new ones we want to develop. Now, clearly, all of those require good knowledge of the Bible and the ability to teach it or to help others teach it to others. And you might be thinking, no, Martin, that's still really not me. But could it be you in a year's time? Or in 2 years' time? If you receive the right training and equipping. I want to suggest that it could. And what I want to suggest this morning is that one way to move in that direction is to sign up for a new training course that's going to start in September. Now, I'm really excited about this. It's a great course that's been run by the Sussex Gospel Partnership for many years. But the problem for us is that it's often been too far away for us realistically to take part. Next year, for example, the Saturday training course will be running in Hove, which is probably too far for most of us. But I've spoken with Spencer Shaw, who is the new director of the SGP. And I'm delighted that he's agreed to let us run the course here in Hastings, in Mendham Hall, via a live link. So the way it'll work is that the talks will be live streamed from Hove into our hall, and then we'll all be able to meet together as a kind of satellite group once a month on a Saturday morning, along with members of St Matthew's Church and St Mark's Little Common, who will join us. So I think this is a really exciting opportunity to do this course together as a church and to be equipped for gospel ministry through it. So please can I commend it to you. And there are lots of good reasons for doing this course. You might do it simply for your own benefit, to deepen your own understanding of the Bible. The course will really help you to get to grips with the story of the whole Bible, and that would be a really good reason for doing it. You might do it as a refresher if you've already done a course like it. That would be another good reason for doing it. But most importantly, perhaps, for us, you might commit to doing it not only for your own benefit, but also as a first step to equip you to serve in the church by teaching the Bible, or being on one of our ministry teams and helping others to teach the Bible. That would be a great reason for doing it. Perhaps you're already involved in leading a home group or serving in one of our children's ministries. Well, this course would be a great way to be even better equipped for the ministry you're already doing. As we look to the future, I'd love to think that everyone serving in a Bible teaching role in this church will have done this course or something like it to equip them. Well, no doubt you'll need more information. As I said, you've got this leaflet in the service sheet. Please do read it. It's an excellent course. You'll see that there's a cost to doing it, but I don't want the cost to prevent anyone from considering it. So please do speak with me if you're interested in doing this course but are concerned about the cost. And I'd be delighted to talk with you about the course and try to answer any other questions you might have after the service. So can I just end by commending this course to you, particularly as an excellent first step if you'd be interested in serving in one of the Bible teaching ministries of the church in the years ahead. So we've seen in our Bible reading that the risen Christ has graciously given each of us gifts and opportunities to minister to one another in the church. And we've seen the vital role of leadership. The church needs people in Bible teaching roles to equip us all to play our part in the life of the church so that the church grows to maturity and stability. Well, if that could be you, then please do think and pray about signing up for this course. Over the next 2 weeks, I'm going to be preaching two more sermons on church leadership. Next week, we'll think about the nature of leadership. Then the following week, we'll think about the responsibilities of leadership. And I hope those sermons will encourage you to think about serving in leadership at Emmanuel and help you to understand what that involves. Let me just say a prayer for now. Let's pray. Loving Father, thank you for the gifts and opportunities we have each received from the risen Jesus. Thank you for your word, the Bible, which equips us to use those gifts for the sake of one another. And thank you for those who serve in the church in Bible teaching roles. As we look to the future, please raise up more in those roles, so that we might be the church that you want us to be, mature and stable, not thrown off course by false teaching, but secure in the truth. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.